As I thought about this lesson, a few passages come to mind immediately, and then you just kind of, as a preacher, you just kind of follow your references from there. So many great passages that have to do with preaching Jesus. I think, for example, of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." And then in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, "And daily in the temple and from house to house they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ." In Acts 17 and verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 and 24, Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but to us who are called, both Jews and Greeks, the power of God and the wisdom of God." In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel," he said a door had been opened unto him there. In Ephesians 3 and verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, has been given the grace, this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And then in Philippians 1, 15 through 17, he mentions that some preach Christ in the right way and some preach Christ in the wrong way. He said there are some who preach Christ in a way that think that it will bring afflictions upon me, but others preach Christ out of goodness, out of the good things. And there are people that are doing that today. Some claiming they're preaching Christ and doing it in the wrong way, which in actuality, as we'll see in this lesson, they're not really preaching Christ. They're not preaching Jesus. And then in Colossians 1, 27 and 28, Paul said, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach." We're preaching Christ, he says. We're preaching Jesus. And so from these passages, and there are so many more, we see what apostolic preaching was all about. We see the theme of gospel preaching. And of course, that could not be better seen than when we turn to Acts, the second chapter, as Jim mentioned just a moment ago in the lesson preceding this one. We find in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus is the theme of that great sermon. He starts off by saying, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did in the midst of you, which ye yourselves also know." He says that he was delivered up, and he was taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. But God raised him up, loosing those pains. It's not possible that he should be holding of it. His soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. And then it says, "And we are witnesses of his resurrection." Then verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." When you think about and outline the sermon in Acts chapter 2, is that preaching Jesus? Absolutely. That, my friends, is preaching Jesus. And if you continue to read, you will see something very important. The results of preaching Jesus upon good and honest hearts. Because they were pricked in their hearts. Why? The preaching of Jesus. They were pricked in the heart. "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Did they do that? Absolutely, verse 41. They heard the word, they received the word, and they were baptized. And verse 47, "They were added unto the church daily, such as should be saved." There's the result of preaching Jesus upon good and honest hearts. Now 3,000 obeyed. What about the rest? Weren't there thousands upon thousands there? Yes. There we're talking about the results of preaching Jesus on hearts that aren't good. They didn't respond. Or they may have responded, but not in the way these responded when they received the word. I find it interesting from time to time that people in talking about the Holy Spirit issue seem to say that those of you, which includes myself, believe that the Holy Spirit indwells in us through the Word of God. They're saying, well, the argument against that is that they received the Word, but they hadn't received the Gospel yet. Yeah, they may have heard the Word, but they didn't receive it truly until they obeyed that Word. So I believe that that's the case, and here we see the results of preaching Jesus in the hearts of those people. Now we need to turn to Acts chapter 8. Because there we're talking about two occasions of preaching Jesus. One is preaching Christ and the other is preaching Jesus that we need to give our attention to. And first of all, in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 25, we find Philip going down to Samaria and they're preaching the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through and the rest of the chapter, we find Philip then preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. And we need to give some attention to these because it talks about it a great deal about preaching Jesus. First of all, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, we find Philip going to Samaria, and it says there that he preached Christ unto them. They gave heed unto the message that he preached. They witnessed the miracles he performed, confirming the word for sure. And then it goes on to talk about a man that they knew of by the name of Simon. Simon, they believed, had some kind of great power about him through sorcery and witchcraft. But it's interesting because the very next verse, verse 12, says, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What did verse 5 say? Says he preached Christ. Verse 12 gives us specifics of what he did when he preached Christ. In preaching Christ, he preached what? The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and something else was preached too. Because those people, when they heard the message, it says they were baptized, both men and women. When faithful preachers of the gospel who preach and teach Jesus Christ, when they preach that message, and the message is believed and heeded upon good, honest hearts, the same result's always going to take place. They're going to be baptized for or unto the remission of their sins. That's what happened in Acts 2. We read a moment ago, verse 38. It's what happens with Cornelius when Christ is preached there in Acts 10, 47 and 48. It's what happens in the life of Saul of Tarsus, as he himself says in Acts 22 and verse 16. They were baptized. Preaching Jesus includes preaching baptism. So preaching the Word, preaching Christ, means preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ concerning such things as the kingdom, concerning the authority of Christ and the commands of Christ. All of those have to be there. So the gospel of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the law of Christ, the word, the faith, the truth, the new covenant, preaching Jesus, preaching Christ, all of that is talking about that divine revealed truth that all of us this side of the cross are amenable to and going to stand in judgment with. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to preach Christ. It's interesting to me that in this one verse, verse 12, three of the things that some people are saying today you ought not talk about. All three of them are mentioned in this one verse, verse 5, about preaching Christ in verse 12. I hear people say, just preach Christ, don't talk about the church, don't talk about the name or the authority of Christ, and don't talk about baptism. Well, what happens when he preached Christ here? All three of those things are mentioned and talked about. He preached the kingdom, the church. He preached the authority of Jesus Christ and talking about the name of Christ. And he preached the commands of Jesus Christ because those people wanted to be baptized. And yet we hear people say with the audacity, say, just preach Christ and leave everybody else alone. It can't be done. You're not going to do it and preach Christ. Preach Jesus Christ. One cannot preach Christ and not deal with the church, which he purchased with his own blood. One cannot preach Christ and not talk about the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what Jim talked about a moment ago. So what if all of those things happen if Jesus didn't have the authority to do them in the first place? Authority is important if we're going to follow him. We're going to do what he says. And also, my friends, we can't preach Christ and leave out the commands of Christ. A lot of people think they're doing it, but they're not preaching Christ when they leave out the commands of Christ. And again, the results are, when they believed Philip, what happened? They were baptized. There's the results of what? Preaching Jesus. It's already happened. We mentioned it in Acts chapter 2. Here it is in Acts chapter 8. Now, just a few verses over, we'll find another case of preaching Jesus. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. Every gospel preacher will talk about this great conversion just as it was preached last night in such an excellent manner by Brother Cotham. But I make no apology for going over this conversion again. Because, my friends, it's talking about preaching Jesus. Philip joins himself to the eunuch who had been traveling. Now he's traveling from Jerusalem where he had been to worship God. And now he's going home. And the Bible says that he's reading Isaiah. And the place that he's reading is recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 53. And the Bible says that Philip joined himself and asked him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And in essence, the eunuch said, "How can I unless someone should guide me?" In other words, I don't know what he's talking about or who he's talking about. Is he talking about himself or someone else? He wasn't ashamed to ask questions. How I wish more people had that attitude today. They wouldn't be ashamed to ask questions. Now remember, this man believed in God, but he did not yet believe in Christ. This is important. He believes in God. He's been all the way to Jerusalem to worship God, but he doesn't believe in Jesus. He doesn't believe Jesus is the Christ. He goes all the way to Jerusalem. He worships the God of heaven. He believes in God, but he doesn't believe yet in Jesus. And no wonder the Bible says that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, verse 35. I want you to notice the Bible says he preached Jesus. He didn't perform a miracle to convince this man of who he was and the word that he was teaching. He just preached Jesus. He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The preaching of Jesus evidently produced faith in this man, because as they went on their way, the man said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He preached unto him Jesus, and in preaching Jesus, he preached unto him baptism. Where did that man, where did the eunuch learn about that baptism? Where did he learn that from? Did he learn it when he went to Jerusalem to worship God under the law of Moses? No, he did not learn about baptism under the law of Moses when he went to worship God in Jerusalem. He had to have learned about it right there in that chariot when Philip preached unto him Jesus. In Acts 8 and verse 5, he preached, remember they said it preached Christ unto them, and he preached the things concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. He preached Jesus, and here's a man who wants to be baptized. And yet some people today say, "Well, just preach Jesus. Don't talk about all those other things. Don't talk about baptism. Just preach the man." Wasn't long ago, was it? It may have been over a decade ago, perhaps, when we heard it, "Preach the man and not the plan." I want you to know you can't preach Jesus Christ and leave off his plan. And those who are trying to do it are not preaching Jesus. They say, "I am." I emphasize Jesus all the time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I emphasize him, but you're not preaching him if you're not preaching his plan. People need to remember that. They need to know that. And we need to hold them responsible to it. It's impossible to preach the man without preaching his plan as well. Immediately after preaching Jesus, the man said, "Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" He said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They stopped the chariot, they both went down into the water, and he baptized him. And then he came up out of the water, and the Spirit caught away Philip. Notice, my friends, what took place. I find it interesting that so-called TV evangelists, and it's my turn, you're going to get this tape. You're going to get some of them on both sides of the tape, aren't you, Brother Jim? I find it interesting that the TV evangelists all quote from Isaiah 53, talking about the suffering Savior. Now, that's a wonderful passage. It brings tears to our eyes, for sure, to talk about the things that were said applying to Jesus Christ and our suffering Savior. But I find it interesting that after they get through discussing their rendition of Isaiah 53, talking about the TV evangelists, that you never hear someone saying, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What do you hear when the TV evangelists get through teaching Isaiah 53? You hear people saying, "I want to be healed from my malady. I want to be healed from my migraine headache. I've got a backache. I need surgery. And I've got to be healed from all these things." They misapply Isaiah 53 in their teaching. And they're bringing damnation to themselves. They say, well, they equate the idea of "with his stripes we are healed." Well, that means that because Jesus suffered and died on the cross, I can be healed from all of my physical maladies. I can be healed from my backache and my migraine and my gallbladder. I can be healed from all these things because Christ suffered and died on the cross. And that's not true. That's not what Isaiah 53 is talking about. Isaiah 53 is talking about spiritual healing. It's not talking about physical healing. And yet that's what every one of them teach, isn't it, on TV? He's talking about physical healing, and that's a lie. And yet none of these TV evangelists get that message out, do they? That he's talking about spiritual healing. I think it would be real interesting if after discussing their rendition of Isaiah 53, let's say old Benny Hinn or somebody up there was getting after it and talking about the suffering Savior, thinking all along he's preaching Christ, and again, he's not preaching Jesus if he doesn't preach his plan. So he's up there preaching Christ, and after he gets through talking about the suffering Savior, someone would come out of their audience and say, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What do you think Benny Hinn would do? Why, he'd slap himself and fall over backwards, I guess. What else could he do? He would be so surprised. And I know one thing that couldn't happen is nobody would say that because they've got no water. There's no water around them. They don't believe in water baptism. Are they preaching Jesus Christ when they turn to Isaiah 53 and the result is never, "Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized"? They're not preaching Jesus. They can fill up hours talking about the man, talking about the Savior, but they're not preaching Jesus if they don't preach what Jesus said, what he taught, his authority, and his commands. I know that's true because the results are not the same. In Acts 8 and verse 5, they preach Christ. What happened? Verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35, he began the same scripture and preached unto them Jesus. What happened? Verse 36, they went on their way. They came upon a certain water. "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" They stopped the chariot. He made the confession. They stopped the chariot. They both went down into the water and he baptized them. That's preaching Jesus. Because that's preaching all about him. That's preaching his commands. It's preaching his authority. And there's the results that always take place when Jesus is preached. The results on good and honest hearts. We begin our lesson with 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Paul is revealing the theme of apostolic preaching. He says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." And in 1 Corinthians 1, 23, we mentioned a moment ago, "We preach Christ crucified." You know, Paul shook two continents in life with that great theme, Christ crucified. And after his death, much more was done all over the world. Now, Paul could have talked about a lot of subjects. He was well versed in many fields. And there was always those about him who clamored for signs. And Paul was somebody who could work a miracle. But he said what? "We preach Christ." And that's what we must do today, to preach Jesus Christ. What did that include? What does it mean to really preach Jesus? Some of these things have already been mentioned, and we've talked about in this lectureship about Jesus, the Son of God. And so, as we get to the lesson, what does it mean to preach Jesus? We've been doing that all week long. Because we've been talking about all the great things concerning him. What did that include? Number one, it includes the deity of Jesus Christ. That's been talked about this week. Jesus claimed his own deity in Mark chapter 14, verses 61 and 62. He said, "I am he, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God and coming in the clouds." He was talking about his deity. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And over in John chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, it talks about the Jews ready to stone Jesus. Now, what would Jesus say that would cause them to want to stone him? That he was the Son of God? They considered that blasphemy. Now, if that wasn't what he was preaching, what else would they consider blasphemy? No, they understood exactly what he was saying. He was saying he was deity. He preached it himself. And then in John 14, verses 8 and 9, after the great passage dealing with, "I am the way, the truth, the life," remember Philip asked him, "Lord, we would see the Father." And what did Jesus say? "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus was talking about his own deity. You can't preach Jesus Christ and leave off his deity. God told about his deity at his baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17. On the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. God called Jesus God. God called him God. The Father ascribed deity to Jesus Christ. You know, modernists will say today, well, all men are sons of God, not in the way Jesus is the Son of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. What a great lesson we had on that earlier. His only begotten Son. Of course, when we preach the deity of Christ, it doesn't deny the humanity of Jesus. He was Christ or God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Philippians 2 and verse 7. He was the Son of God, or is the Son of God, and the Son of Man. But you can't preach Jesus Christ and not preach His deity. But I find more and more people doing that today. Denominations have been doing it for a long time. Some of our own brethren seem to be following that path as well. And when they do, they're not preaching Jesus. Secondly, to preach Jesus means to preach the preexistence of Jesus. Over in John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." You couldn't get much plainer than that. And then at his prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee from before the world was." Jesus is talking about His own preexistence, and His followers taught the same. It's already been mentioned, John 1, beginning in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made." The preexistence of Jesus Christ. You can't preach Jesus and not accept and believe in the preexistence of Jesus. Thirdly, it also includes the incarnation of Jesus. If Jesus existed before His coming to the earth, then His coming to the earth was not His beginning. It was His incarnation. That's what it is, His incarnation. That's what the New Testament teaches in John 1 and verse 14. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, even the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word is God, and He became flesh and dwelt among us. Matthew said that His birth was in the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of the virgin birth in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Friends, to preach Christ, to preach Jesus, is to preach His incarnation in the manner of the virgin birth. You can't deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and still preach Jesus. And it's been pointed out in our series of lessons, there are a lot of denominations who deny the virgin birth of Christ. And they're not preaching Jesus. Next, to preach Jesus means to preach the crucifixion. Christ said Himself that He would die. In John chapter 10 and verse 15, He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." The Apostle Paul preached that Christ died for our sins. The very basis of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 3. Christ died for our sins. We preach Christ crucified, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23. You can't preach Christ and ignore the crucifixion. You can't preach Christ and ignore the fact of His resurrection. Christ said He would rise. You'll recall in John chapter 2 and verse 19, He told the Jews, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up." And they all chided Him, saying, "Well, it took 46 years to build that temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days." But notice what verse 21 says, "But He spake of the temple of His body." Jesus described Himself in Revelation 1 and verse 18. Listen to this. "That He was one that liveth and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore." That's the resurrection. I lived, I died, I'm alive now. And I live forevermore. Hallelujah. He arose. And then from Acts chapter 2 onward, we find the theme of preaching Jesus that deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. and how thankful we are for that. Listen to me. If he hadn't have pushed away that Roman seal around that tomb, Christianity would have never begun. It would have meant nothing then to preach Christ if we did not preach also his resurrection. To preach Jesus is to preach the resurrection. And then in the sixth place, to preach Jesus is to preach the kingdom or the church. Now we established that in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 and 12. When Philip preached Christ, what did he preach? He preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Christ is the head of his church. Ephesians 1, 22, 23, the head of the body. And reconciliation is found where? Ephesians 2 and verse 16. In that body or in that church. Now how can you preach Christ? How can you preach the reconciliation with Christ and leave out where that reconciliation places you? In the church. You can't do it. That's why I know people out there who continue to blaspheme the church of Christ. I know they're not preaching Christ. Whether it be someone who calls themselves members of the Church of Christ or not. I know people who will badmouth the Lord's church. I know they're not preaching Christ. You can't do that. How can you preach Jesus and leave out the church? You can't. And next, to preach Jesus is to preach his commands. Now we prove that in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 40. When Philip preached Jesus, a man responded by saying, "Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" I often ask friends, fellow preachers, what do people say after you preach? You learn something about your lessons when you ask people, what do people say after you preach? It ought to be such that after every gospel sermon, what's on their heart is, if they haven't obeyed the gospel, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? I'm surprised at so many so-called gospel preachers today who don't even offer the invitation any longer. They just refuse. Well, all those people have heard it over and over again. And I always tell them, how do you know there's not one out there with just the kind word of come, the very words of Jesus himself, that's all they're waiting for, to step out on that aisle and put the Lord on in baptism and have their sins washed away. Tell you, people who leave off the invitation any longer, as far as worship services, we're concerned about people like that. Are they really preaching Christ? Would anybody come up from after that lesson and say, "Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" You can't preach Jesus and leave off the commands of Jesus. So what does that include? Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins, John 8, 24. Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish, Luke 13, 3. Confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God, John 3 and verse 5. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned, Mark 16 and verse 16. All the commands of Christ are found in preaching Jesus Christ. Fellow preachers, is there anything we're leaving out of the commands of Jesus as we strive to preach the whole counsel of God? You know, these facts are being denied by a lot of people today. There are a lot of people who are saying nice, polite things about Jesus. They're saying that his ethics would help cure the ills of our society. And yet there's so many of them who are denying the facts, the commands about Jesus, that really proves that they're not preaching Jesus after all. Yeah, the preaching of Christ is still to many a stumbling block. It's still to many foolishness. But may it be said of every one of us, we preach Christ.